World History, Chapter 32, Section 5, Europe and Japan in Ruins, Setting the Stage. After 6 long years of war, the Allies finally were victorious. However, their victory had been achieved at a very high price. World War II had caused more death and destruction than any other conflict in history. It left 60 million dead. About one-third of these deaths occurred in one country, the Soviet Union. Another 50 million people had been uprooted from their homes and wandered the countryside in search of somewhere to live. Property damage ran into billions of U.S. dollars. Devastation in Europe. By the end of World War II, Europe lay in ruins. Close to 40 million Europeans had died, two-thirds of them civilians. Constant bombing and shelling had reduced hundreds of cities to rubble. The ground war had destroyed much of the countryside. Displaced persons from many nations were left homeless. A harvest of destruction. A few of the great cities of Europe, Paris, Rome, and Brussels, remained largely undamaged by war. Many, however, had suffered terrible destruction. The Battle of Britain left huge areas of London little more than blackened ruins. Warsaw, the capital of Poland, was almost completely destroyed. In 1939, Warsaw had a population of nearly 1.3 million. When Soviet soldiers entered the city in January 1945, only 153,000 people remained. Thousands of tons of Allied bombs had demolished 95% of the central area of Berlin. One U.S. officer stationed in the German capital reported, "Wherever we looked, we saw desolation. It was like a city of the dead." After the bombings, many civilians stayed where they were and tried to get on with their lives. Some lived in partially destroyed homes or apartments. Others huddled in cellars or caves made from rubble. They had no water, no electricity, and very little food. A large number of people did not stay where they were. Rather, they took to the roads. These displaced persons included the survivors of concentration camps, prisoners of war, and refugees who found themselves in the wrong country when post-war treaties changed national borders. They wandered across Europe hoping to find their families or to find a safe place to live. Simon Wiesenthal, a prisoner at Auschwitz, described the search made by Holocaust survivors. Across Europe, a wild tide of fanatic survivors was flowing. Many of them didn't really know where to go. And yet the survivors continued their pilgrimage of despair. Perhaps someone is still alive. Someone might tell where to find a wife, a mother, a child, a brother, or whether they were dead. The desire to find one's people was stronger than hunger, thirst, and fatigue. Simon Wiesenthal. Misery continues after the war. The misery in Europe continued for years after the war. The fighting had ravaged Europe's countryside and agriculture had been completely disrupted. Most able-bodied men had served in the military and the women had worked in war production. Few remained to plant the fields. With the transportation system destroyed, the meager harvest did not reach their cities. Thousands died as famine and disease spread through the bombed-out cities. The first post-war winter brought more suffering as people went without shoes and coats. Post-war governments and politics. Despairing Europeans often blamed their leaders for the war and its aftermath. Once the Germans had lost, some pre-war governments, like those in Belgium, Holland, Denmark, and Norway, returned quickly. In countries like Germany, Italy, and France, however, a return to the old leadership was not desirable. Hitler's Nazi government had brought Germany to ruin. Mussolini had led Italy to defeat. The Vichy government had collaborated with the Nazis. Much of the old leadership was in disgrace. Also, in Italy and France, many resistance fighters were communists. After the war, the Communist Party promised change, and millions were ready to listen. In both France and Italy, Communist Party membership skyrocketed. The communists made huge gains in the first post-war elections. Anxious to speed up a political takeover, the communists staged a series of violent strikes. Alarmed French and Italians reacted by voting for anti-communist parties. Communist party membership and influence began to decline, and they declined even more as the economies of France and Italy began to recover. The Nuremberg Trials. While nations were struggling to recover politically and economically, they also tried to deal with the issue of war crimes. During 1945 and 46, an international military tribunal representing 23 nations put Nazi war criminals on trial in Nuremberg, Germany. In the first of these Nuremberg trials, 22 Nazi leaders were charged with waging a war of aggression. They were also accused of committing crimes against humanity, the murder of 11 million people. Adolf Hitler, SS Chief Heinrich Himmler, and Minister of Propaganda Joseph Goebbels had committed suicide long before the trials began. However, Hermann Göring, the commander of the Luftwaffe, Rudolf Hess, Hitler's former deputy, and other high-ranking Nazi leaders remained to face the charges. Hess was found guilty and was sentenced to life in prison. Göring received a death sentence, but cheated the executioner by committing suicide. 10 other Nazi leaders were hanged on October 16, 1946. Hans Frank, the Slayer of Poles, was the only convicted Nazi to express remorse. "A thousand years will pass," he said, "and still this guilt of Germany will not have been eased." The bodies of those executed were burned at the concentration camp of Dachau. They were cremated in the same ovens that had burned so many of their victims. Post-war Japan. The defeat suffered by Japan in World War II left the country in ruins. 2 million lives had been lost. The country's major cities, including the capital, Tokyo, had been largely destroyed by bombing raids. The atomic bomb had turned Hiroshima and Nagasaki into blackened wastelands. The Allies had stripped Japan of its colonial empire. Occupied Japan. General Douglas MacArthur, who had accepted the Japanese surrender, took charge of the U.S. occupation of Japan. MacArthur was determined to be fair and not to plant the seeds of a future war. Nevertheless, to ensure that peace would prevail, he began the process of demilitarization, or disbanding, the Japanese armed forces. He achieved this quickly, leaving the Japanese with only a small police force. MacArthur also began bringing war criminals to trial. Out of the 25 surviving defendants, former Premier Hideki Tojo and six others were condemned to hang. MacArthur then turned his attention to democratization, the process of creating a government elected by the people. In February 1946, he and his American political advisors drew up a new constitution. It changed the empire into a constitutional monarchy like that of Great Britain. The Japanese accepted the constitution. It went into effect on May 3, 1947. MacArthur was not told to revive the Japanese economy. However, he was instructed to broaden land ownership and increase the participation of workers and farmers in the new democracy. To this end, MacArthur put forward a plan that required absentee landlords with huge estates to sell land to the government. The government then sold the land to tenant farmers at reasonable prices. Other reforms pushed by MacArthur gave workers the right to create independent labor unions. Occupation brings deep changes. The new constitution was the most important achievement of the occupation. It brought deep changes to Japanese society. A long Japanese tradition had viewed the emperor as divine. He was also an absolute ruler whose will was law. The emperor now had to declare that he was not divine. That admission was as shocking to the Japanese as defeat. His power was also dramatically reduced. Like the ruler of Great Britain, the emperor became largely a figurehead, a symbol of Japan. The new constitution guaranteed that real political power in Japan rested with the people. The people elected a two-house parliament called the Diet. All citizens over the age of 20, including women, had the right to vote. The government was led by a prime minister chosen by a majority of the Diet. A constitutional bill of rights protected basic freedoms. One more key provision of the Constitution, Article 9, stated that the Japanese could no longer make war. They could fight only if attacked. In September 1951, the United States and 47 other nations signed a formal peace treaty with Japan. The treaty officially ended the war. Some 6 months later, the U.S. occupation of Japan was over. However, with no armed forces, the Japanese agreed to a continuing U.S. military presence to protect their country. The United States and Japan, once bitter enemies, were now allies. In the post-war world, enemies not only became allies, sometimes allies became enemies. World War II had changed the political landscape of Europe. The Soviet Union and the United States emerged from the war as the world's two major powers. They also ended the war as allies. However, it soon became clear that their post-war goals were very different. This difference stirred up conflicts that would shape the modern world for decades.